Hey, welcome to the Book Club podcast. The book that we're reading today is Project 1065 by Alan Gratz, and I'm here with three of my students. I'm going to give them a second to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Joaquin, and I like soccer.
Hi, my name is Adrian, and I like to watch movies.
Hi, my name is Krish, and I like reading.
Awesome. So we're going to read you a section from Project 1065 right now so you can get a sense of what this book is about. Joaquin, why don't you tell us about our celebrity reader?
Okay. Our celebrity reader is my mom. She helped a lot in this book, and I really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy it.
What section of the book is she going to be reading?
She's going to be reading the beginning, two or three chapters.
Awesome. Very cool. So let's go ahead and hear that now.
Project 1065. Chapter 1, Dinner with Nazis. It's hard to smile when you're having dinner with Nazis. There were Nazis all up and down the long table, talking and laughing and eating. There were Nazi soldiers in their gray German army uniforms. There were SS officers, members of Adolf Hitler's private protection squadron, in their black uniforms and red armbands. There were regular civilian Nazis who didn't fight in the military, who ran banks and factories and newspapers and wore suits and ties and Nazi pins. And then there was me, Michael O'Shaughnessy, wearing my brown long-sleeved shirt, black shorts, white knee socks, and black hiking boots polished to a shine. And just like the SS, the most fearsome killers in all the land, I wore a red armband with a big black swastika in the center of it, the hooked cross symbol, the Nazis plastered all over everything. I wore the uniform of the Hitler Youth, Germany's version of the Boy Scouts, because I was a Nazi too. Or at least I was pretending to be. "More cake?" the Nazi next to me asked, offering me another slice. Light from the chandelier glinted on the silver skull pin on his collar. Sure, thanks, I said. "That's very kind of you." I remembered to smile, even though it took effort. I hated pretending to like these people, hated pretending to agree with their awful hatred of the Jews, hated pretending I wanted them to win the war and conquer the world. But I smiled because I had to. If they ever discovered I wasn't really one of them, my family and I would disappear into a concentration camp, never to be seen or heard from again. "Your German is so good," the woman on my other side told me. She was the wife of a captain in the German army. "If I didn't know your father was the Irish ambassador, I would think you grew up here in Berlin." I sagged in my chair. I heard this every time my family attended one of these dinners. I wasn't exactly the blue-eyed, blonde-haired, Aryan ideal, but with my flawless German accent and my brown hair that fell like a mop into my brown eyes, I could pass for an average German boy any day. I wasn't proud of it, but it was definitely useful. "Michael's always had a good head for languages," my father said in German. He sat across from me at the table, my mother two seats down from him. "We've only been here for 6 years, but he already speaks better German than I do." 1937. That was the year my father was named Irish ambassador to Germany, and we moved from London, where he'd been stationed, to Berlin. It was 1943 now, and I was 13 years old. Things had changed so much in those 6 years. Berlin had been a wonderland when I first arrived, all towering columns with eagle statues on top and red flags fluttering from every building and parades 10,000 people strong. Hitler was already Chancellor of Germany, and the Nazis, his political party, were well in control. Germany wasn't at war yet, and not everybody was a Nazi back then. But it was hard to argue with their success. Everywhere I'd looked, I'd see faces full of smiles and laughter. But then overnight, the party had ended. Not the Nazi party. They only got stronger. The other party, the feeling of unbounded German cheerfulness, was gone. I'd finally seen the horror behind the smiles, and so had the rest of the world. What happened that one night still haunted me. "Michael's always had an exceptional memory, haven't you, son?" Ma said, breaking into my thoughts. "It's true," my father said. "Michael reads in German, tells jokes in German. I think he even dreams in German." The adults around us at the table gave him a polite chuckle. Da, the diplomat, doing what he did best. His mustache widened as he beamed at me, but the eyes that peered at me over his glasses weren't smiling. They were reminding me to smile, to be friendly, to play my part. I picked up my glass of grape juice and took a sip to hide my frown. "You are a better German than some Germans," the Nazi who'd offered me cake said. His name was Trumbauer, and his rank within the SS was Obersturmführer, which meant senior assault leader. He was a tall, thin man with slick back, jet black hair, and a nose like a parrot's beak. Just today, we raided the home of a German couple who were hiding a Jew in the attic. Right here in Berlin. He shook his head as if he couldn't believe the stupidity of some people. "How did you know they were hiding a Jew?" the woman next to me asked. SS Obersturmführer Trumbauer cut out a bite of cake with his fork and lifted it. Their son reported them. I shuddered. Their own son, ratting them out to the secret police. I couldn't imagine ever doing something like that to my own parents. "What happened to them?" I asked. SS Obersturmführer Trumbauer said, swallowing his cake. "Oh, the Germans were taken into protective custody at Dachau, of course. The Jew was shot while trying to escape." The SS Obersturmführer's words rattled me, and I knocked over my glass trying to set it back down. It struck the rim of my plate and shattered, sending glass and grape juice everywhere. I caught my reflection in one of the tiny shards, half a dozen little Michael O'Shaughnessys looking up at me in horror. Suddenly, I was back again on that Berlin street that night 4 years ago when everything had changed, when I'd finally learned what the monsters the Nazis really were.
Okay, so that should give you a sense of a little bit about what this book is about. Somebody tell me about the main character of this book. Who is it and what are some of his qualities?
Well, the main character is Michael. He is a young Irish kid who is 13 years old in Germany, spying on the Nazis and helping British intelligence.
Yeah, Adrian, what's that like for him to be a spy? He's a young kid, but he's a spy. How did he get into that situation?
Well, he got into that situation, right, that he was, oh yeah, the night when, right, when it was after he watched the movie, what's it called? The German, the army was like searching for Irish people, and so.
Yeah, and what is his relation, what do his parents have to do with the fact that he's a spy?
Well, I think his parents got him involved with spies because about 5 years ago, Germans were finding Jewish people and causing havoc in Jewish cities or in cities. And so then they brought Michael in because, as they say, people underestimate kids and women.
Yeah. Krish, let's talk about that a little bit, people underestimating kids. Michael joins a group, and he's part of that group in order to get a little bit closer to German society. Tell me a little bit about that group that he joins and what it's like for him.
Well, he doesn't like it, but he has to do it.
What's it called?
It's called Hitler Youth.
Yeah, and what is his involvement in that?
Well, in the Hitler Youth, he's trying to advance to go to higher ranks, and so that he can actually help the British get intelligence
and access more information, because as a low rank, you're not really going to get any information.
Yeah, so he tries to advance in this group, and along the way, he runs into a friend. Somebody tell me a little bit about that friend that he makes and what their relationship is like.
Well, so his friend is Fritz. He's a boy in his class. He wants to grow up to be one of the SS officers. He's like working for Hitler. He really wants to do that.
Yeah, and ultimately we find that Michael wants to get closer to him for a really special reason. And this actually relates to one of our listener questions. One of our listeners, Andrew, he wants to know about the title, Project 1065. What is the significance about that title?
Okay, so Project 1065 is not what you think. It's these blueprints for a plan to build a jet airplane in 1940s. So this could help Germany win the war against Britain, and the U.S. wasn't in this. So then everything would just turn on the Soviet Union.
Exactly. And Fritz's dad is the one who's actually in possession of those blueprints. So Michael realizes that if he gets close to Fritz, he might get closer to the end goal of his spying as well. Now, along the way, he faces some challenges. And actually, our listener, McKenna, wants to know about some of the challenges that Michael faces along the way. What challenges did you guys notice?
Well, one of the main challenges was that one time in the second, he had to box Fritz in a match.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, tell us more about that. Why was that so difficult for him to have to fight his friend?
Because Michael thought Fritz were friends, so it was really hard for him because he didn't want to beat up his friend.
Yeah, and he had to do this in order to advance in the Hitler Youth. They pitted them against each other. What other challenges, Christian and Joaquin, did you notice?
I did notice that at the end, something may or may not happen. Can't say that, though. You gotta read the book. And also in the beginning of the book, he always has to watch out for being spot because he doesn't want to get found out that he's a spy, because that'd be punished with concentration camps and death, pretty much.
Chris, any challenges that you notice in the book?
Well, he has to do a lot of stuff he doesn't want to do. Like, he has to, when he's, some people in Germany, when they're 13 years old, they have to basically participate in the war.
Yeah, they're having to man anti-aircraft guns and guard the streets during raids and things like that. That's definitely a tough thing for him. Early on, he makes an ally, though, and it's an unexpected person. Somebody tell me about how he meets this character, Simon.
So how he meets Simon was that one time he was on his first mission, and so he was thinking he was going to help him. And then while he was searching, he found him. And so he had to, and he knew that he could have helped, he could have helped Michael. And so he hid him, and then he later became very useful in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. So Simon is really important. We won't tell you everything that happens with Simon, obviously, because there's some spoilers at the end of the book. What are some of Michael's strengths and weaknesses? We see that, you know, Michael is a character. He's obviously got a lot of things that he does well, but there are things that he struggles with too. So what are some of the struggles that Michael has?
Well, some of his strengths are he has a really good memory. He memorized the whole blueprints for the Project 1065. And he brought it back to Simon, who was going to do something. But the biggest weakness, in my opinion, would be that he's afraid of heights. If he stands over a two-story building, he will pass out and, fall.
Yeah, and that comes into play a little bit in the middle of the book when he has to pass a test to rise up in the Hitler Youth. Adrian, can you tell me about that moment when he's standing above the pool? What is that like for him?
Well, he's very scared and he's about to faint. And so Fritz helps him just by pushing him off. It's like pushing him off so he can actually pass the test.
Yeah, he can't do it on his own, so his friend just pushes him off the edge. Now, there's a lot of lessons to take away from this book. I'm wondering, why do you think the author wrote this, and what were they hoping for us to take away?
I think the author wanted to wrote this because he wanted to make a fun story that has information in it, and he would probably want us to take away that being a spy would be really difficult to do. And Adrian, you have anything else to say about that?
It also tells us about our history in the past, about how Germany was in Berlin. And how there was a lot of chaos in Germany at that time.
Yeah, Krish, anything you want to add about why you think this book was written?
Well, just to show how much people went through.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a quote from the book that I want to read and see what you guys think about, because a lot of times in this book, there's situations where somebody has to be sacrificed for the greater good. And this is a quote from the book, and I want to know if you agree with it or disagree with it. It says, "Sometimes we have to sacrifice good people to win a war," Simon had told me. "Sometimes you do what you have to do, even if it means doing something wrong." Even if it means doing something wrong. What do you guys think about that? Is it okay to do something wrong, to sacrifice good people to try and do the right thing? It's a really tough question.
If you're doing something wrong for the right reason, then I would think it is good. But if you're doing something wrong for the wrong reason, that's totally bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you guys rate this book overall? So, you know, compared to other books you've read, what stood out to you about this book, and how would you rate it?
Well, what stood out to me was that it was very dramatic. I mean, like, this is like probably the second book I've ever fallen in love with. And, I'd probably rate it an 11 out of 10 liked it a lot.
Well, I liked it that because you always want to keep reading on, because there's always something tiny, like there's always something you want to learn more about. Like, and my favorite chapter was the Nazis' second favorite sport. Anyways,
what was that about? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh yeah, that was about
the boxing match between Michael and Fritz. Michael.
Got it.
And also, quick side note: the reason Fritz kept trying. And the reason he did that was because he wanted to make Michael look good. I actually found that out. But
yeah.
Because Michael gave him a blow to the head. Fritz fell down, got back up, and kept getting up after he kept getting knocked down. And eventually he went down, but he's knocked down at this point.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was great. I would give this book maybe a 9.5 out of 10.
Nice. Yeah. Krish, what about you?
It was really exciting. You could never tell what was going to happen. I would rate it 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Perfect. What other books, this is a question from our listeners, what other books would you recommend if somebody likes this book?
I don't have any suggestions, but I have a genre. I have a theme you should go with. You should go with find a dramatic book about World War II or something that has war in it. And if you don't like that taste, then go to something lighter, but like a spy kid book or something like that.
So either spying or maybe historical fiction about war.
Yes.
Books like that. Yeah. Adrian, what about you? What other books would you recommend?
Well, if you want to keep reading more and like it's really interesting, I would suggest maybe some spying books or maybe some comic books, because sometimes those are pretty fun too.
Yeah. Krish?
I would recommend this book and one more book that the author wrote. I forgot what it's called.
Well, he wrote another book called Refugee recently, and that's one that actually there's an excerpt from it at the very end of Project 1065 that you can read as well. So yeah, that might be one of the ones that we explore later on. Thank you guys today for all your great comments. We'll be back pretty soon with another book. One last thing, if you guys could recommend a non-reading activity that people do.
Okay. I'd probably say if you have any Nerf guns, you go call a few friends over and then have Nerf gun war.
Nerf gun war. Awesome. What about you?
I suggest maybe playing a team sport, maybe, or just doing the same thing, Nerf guns.
I suggest playing sports or watching TV.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks again, everybody. Let's give them a round of applause for their excellent.